So 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 1. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people but to God. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit. But the one who prophesies speaks to God for their strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. Anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but the one who prophesies edifies the church. I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I would rather have you prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets so the church may be edified. Now, brothers and sisters, if I come to you and speak in tongues, what good will that be to you? Unless I bring some revelation or knowledge or prophecy or word of instruction. Even in the case of lifeless things that make sounds, such as the pipe or harp, how will anyone know what tune is being played unless there's a distinction in the notes? Again, if the trumpet doesn't sound a clear call, who will get ready for battle? So it is with you. Unless you speak intelligible words with your tongue, how will anyone know what you're saying? You'll just be speaking into the air. Undoubtedly, there are all sorts of languages in the world, yet none of them is without meaning. If then I do not grasp the meaning of what someone's saying, I'm a foreigner to the speaker, and the speaker's a foreigner to me. So it is with you. Since you are eager for the gifts of the Spirit, try to excel in those that build up the church. So reads God's word. So I'm going to just kind of teach, if you will, through some of the things that I think are the dynamics of what it means for God the Holy Spirit to work in us so that we may give a prophetic word. So where I want to begin is that it really is always the work of God the Holy Spirit in us. It's not us drumming something up, as I said a moment ago. It's not us getting high or happy because we've sung too many worship songs and done it so fast we've hyperventilated. It's nothing to do with that. It's when God the Holy Spirit actually brings something that's powerful to us that we feel that there's a kind of an urgency within us that he wants to say something into the meeting. But before we go any further, I want to talk to you about this. Because a lot of us get this idea that, well, you can do a Bible reading, or a preacher can preach from the Bible, but when you get a prophetic word in a meeting, well, that's extra special. I just want to turn that completely on its head. I'll never forget going to a leadership meeting at another church, and I really felt God had given me a passage of Scripture. And I shared that passage of Scripture, but somebody else had been given a word that he'd written on the back of an old envelope. Do you know, I was really disappointed because I came away, partly with my ego burst, which can happen a lot. But they ignored what I read from here in favour of the back of a piece of an envelope. And I want to turn it over on its head and say, this is God speaking to you. It's always his voice, it's always his word, and it is always prophetic. The problem with us is deaf ears. We don't hear it. When I pray and do my journal, I have a kind of a liturgy that I pray. And I say, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Lord, as I read your word, may I hear your voice. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Lord, as I read your word, may I know you speaking. And then a third time, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And it changes. Lord, as I read your word, may you find me listening. Always God's voice, always prophetic. It's always for us now. And if we don't get anything out of a Bible reading, usually it's because it's deaf ears. Either that, or you're stuck somewhere in the middle of the book of Numbers. And I've just finished it, so I know. There's actually lots of really interesting stuff in Numbers. I love it. So Bible's always prophetic. But the Spirit speaks now. Number one, the Spirit will speak through this if you let it. Number two, the Spirit will speak through a preacher or a speaker if you're listening. So what's your attitude when you come to church? Time and time again, we're like, oh, it's him again or her again. Or we go home and we think, well, that was a 5 out of 10 sermon. If it's a 5 out of 10 sermon, you don't have to listen to it. Did you know that? You only have to listen to it if it's an 8.5+ out of 10 sermon. If it's up there, then you just, you know, God's spoken. You go away and think, yeah, God spoke this morning. Now, whenever anybody gets up to speak God's word and read from it and try and explain it, your heart should always have prophetic receptors to say, God, what do you want to say to me? How do you want to challenge me? How will you encourage me? How will your word and your spirit through your word shape me today? Do that in your Bible reading. Do it in your quiet time tomorrow morning. Just expect God to be prophetic in your life, that he will bring his word and he will make it live right here, right now, in you. You got that? It's so important. Because so often we're evaluating all the time. And as I say, this is God speaking. It is God speaking. The problem we have is we're not listening. So the Spirit speaks now. 1 Corinthians 12 verse 7 speaks about a manifestation of the Spirit being given for the common good. Now, we've talked in the last few weeks and said 1 Corinthians 12, 13 and 14, kind of are all together. It's like a kind of a gifts of the Spirit sandwich. So you've got 12 about the gifts of the Spirit, 14 about the gifts of the Spirit. Chapter 13 is about how we operate in the gifts or with the gifts of the Spirit. And we always operate in faith and hope, but most of all, we operate in love. It doesn't work. The gifts of the Spirit effectively are empty, noisy, clashing cymbals if God's love is not at work within us. But in chapter 12, Paul talks about a meeting. And the word manifestation here literally could be translated, right here, right now, God works. That's what a manifestation is. It's not like God might manifest himself tomorrow. He might, or he did it yesterday. The way Paul's speaking is if he was in this meeting now, and he'll say, right here, right now, the Holy Spirit will work and bring his gifts through us for the common good. So then we flip over to chapter 14, where Paul then speaks or describes or defines what prophecy does or what it is. And he says this prophet is, or the one who prophesies, speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging and comfort. That's 1 Corinthians 14:4. So Paul's expectancy is that if the Holy Spirit speaks right here, right now for the common good, what effect should that or might that have on us? It will be that we're encouraged. We are lifted up. It will be that God will do something in us that will move us on in him. Now some of us think, prophets, aren't they those people in the Old Testament who kind of prophesied doom and gloom? You know, we imagine that most of the Old Testament prophets are a bit like Fraser out of Dad's Army. You know, looking out, we're all doomed. You know, those guys were preaching God's word. And their passionate heart was a love for God and a love for God's people. And they were warning them and saying, if you don't turn back to him, if you don't receive his forgiveness, if you don't walk in his holy ways, then you are all doomed. And we should still be saying those kind of things today. But Paul says, right here, right now, when the Holy Spirit is at work to bring a word of prophecy It will, for the most part, be encouragement. It will be, for the most part, be strengthening and encouragement and comfort. Sometimes they use the word exhortation there. And I kind of think of that as the word comfort, but with a kind of a boot up the backside. All right? That's, you know, sometimes God does do that. He challenges us or convicts us. And he says, look, you're going in the wrong way. I'm going to kick you up the backside spiritually so you turn around and follow me in the right way. So a prophetic word might have that edge to it. Now ask a question. Would you prophesy? I knew he was going to do that. Just hang on to your seats. You can if you want. Hang on to your seats. Would you prophesy? Would you open your heart? Open your mind? Would you open your mouth to speak a word of prophecy? Why does the Bible say here, why does God's voice, God's word for us today say here in verse 5, I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I'd rather have you prophesy. What's going on with Paul there? Well, the last screen mentioned something about intimacy and communion. That the nurture of prophecy comes out of the fact that God has not just kind of finished that, written the last full stop. Well, they didn't have punctuation in Greek, but kind of put the last full stop in the Bible, shut it, that's it. God does not speak again at all today. God is completely interacting with his people today. He wants you to be in a place of intimacy and communion with him, so that your heart, and your mind, and even your mouth can be open to speak of that intimacy, to speak of that communion. And that's why what will come out of your mouth, if it's 1 Corinthians 13-ized with his love, what will come out will be encouragement and comfort, maybe challenge and change. But it's coming out of you being in a place where you dare to step into intimacy that will also be communion with God. And I guess, again, if sometimes our ears are deaf to hear God being prophetic here, maybe our hearts and our minds are closed to God actually wanting to be prophetic, to speak in us, so he can then speak through us. And again, we kind of say, well, that's just for them spiritual lot. You know, them pastors what preach, or those preachers what come and share God's message. Or maybe the one or two in the congregation who we know, well, you know, she's good for a prophetic word, or he's good to speak something out. And it's, phew, aren't you glad it's them and not me? Don't you think like that? Rather them. Because some of you, you might not have your hands folded, but you've certainly got your hearts folded now because you're thinking, I don't want to go there. But what if? What if your intimacy with God brought you into a place of communion with him, that you had a sense of God speaking in you, and maybe you then were open to saying, God, will you speak through me for others? I pray, God, that every person who delivers a message from here on a Sunday is doing that as they're prepping. And one of my prayers, if you come and say, what do you pray for yourself, Andrew? One of my number one prayers is, God, fill me with your spirit so I can speak for you. And Peter wrote his letter. He one of the things he said was, when you speak, speak as it were the very words of God. That's scary, isn't it? But he's not just writing to me. He's writing that to all of us. And what does Paul say here, verse 5? I'd like everyone to speak in tongues. We're not going to go there tonight. Give it a couple of weeks. But he says, I would rather have you prophesy. I mentioned Numbers 11 a few weeks ago because there's a similar passage in the Old Testament when Moses is absolutely fed up. Actually, so fed up, he says, God, just kill me now. I'm fed up with this lot. Kill me now. You know, it's just, you know, short circuit my life. That's what he felt. And God said, God was very empathic with him. He said, Moses, I think you're quite near burnout. And he didn't quite say it like that, but he said, Moses, you need help. He said, get 70 elders and I'm going to anoint them. And he anointed 68 elders when they came to the tent of meeting, because two of them were late and they were still back in their tents. I don't know, putting on aftershave or anointing oil or something like that. I don't know. But they weren't there. But God's Spirit came down and they're in their own tents. And God's Spirit filled them, and they're in their tents, and they're prophesying, they're worshipping God, and they're speaking out prophecy. And Joshua, Moses' right-hand man, kind of, he's fed up with this. He's, God, they couldn't even be bothered to turn up on time, and the Spirit of God has poured himself out on them, stop them. And Moses said, I'm not stopping them. And Moses turned to Joshua and said exactly what Paul says here. He said, I would that the whole of Israel prophesied. Why? Why? I absolutely believe that first and foremost, the why, the answer to that why question is the intimacy and communion question. Because God wants us in a place where we know him so well. Where our hearts and our minds are so open to the Holy Spirit being at work and speaking into our lives. That then he's able to take us and say, now you're in this place of intimacy. Now you're in this place of communion. I actually can use you to speak for me. And that is the time then he will challenge you and you will have to do something about it. So what happens? Well, I think one of the first things that happens is you get incredibly nervous. There's this sense of being in the spirit where you know that the word I want to use is numinous, which is a big posh word for saying God is very, very present, okay? So you sense God's presence. You may be worshipping him. You may be singing a song. You may be praying. But you sense that God, the Holy Spirit, is speaking to you that bit differently to everybody else in the room at that moment. That bit differently to the way you might be singing at that moment, and you sense, oh, God's saying something to me. And then you begin to listen. In that moment, what it's easy to do is, I don't go there, and you do what Paul writes to the Thessalonians not to do, and in that moment you say, God, that's okay for him, it's okay for him, it's not for me. And you shut the Holy Spirit down, and you put out the Spirit's fire. And the Apostle Paul says to the Thessalonian church, don't do that. What you're meant to do in that moment is test that Spirit. Test what you're hearing, and ask, God, is this for right here, right now? Is this something you want to say into the meeting? If you do that, you say, God, will you use me, or am I hearing clearly? Just listening to that test in your spirit, you become fairly sure whether it's right or wrong. If it doesn't go away, if you end up with your heart pounding, if you end up with a sense of, I've got to say this, I would say 99.9% recurring, that's God the Holy Spirit. It is God the Holy Spirit. What you at that point have to do is step out and trust him that he will speak through you in those moments. So don't push it down. Don't put out the Spirit's fire. Test it in your own spirit. But know this, you will have a pounding heart. You will have a sense of, is this right before God? And the question at that moment is, will you speak out in faith? Will you dare to step out and say something that is beyond what's happening in the meeting at that moment? It may be that the worship leader or maybe whoever's hosting the service says, let's just stop. Let's listen and see if God is saying something. In that moment, you think, oh no, it's me. And your heart's bashing between your teeth. You have to take a step of faith and dare to speak. And maybe you're praying for somebody. How do you pray for somebody? Don't just blurt out what they've asked. Pray with a listening ear. A listening ear to what God the Holy Spirit might want to say. You don't have to come out and say, "Thus saith the Lord." Sounds like the pastor off The Simpsons, for goodness sake. You don't have to say, "I think God might be saying this to you. Does that make any sense?" And they go, "No, at least you tried." Or they may say, "Yeah, actually, that really does make sense." And in that moment, you brought them from the place you were in intimacy and communion with God into their own intimacy and communion with God. But there is that step of faith moment that God calls to you for. What happens when it happens in a meeting? Well, if I'm around, I get my pen and paper out and jot it down as fast as I possibly can. How do we know whether that's really God or not? This is when it comes back into 1 Corinthians 13 and love. Because I want always, whenever we share God's prophetic voice, to be in an atmosphere of love. So even if somebody's got it badly, sadly wrong, we still love them anyway. And that in a meeting, if you say something that's absolutely crazy, like, you know, if you prophesy Preston winning the Premier League this season, which cannot happen, okay, but if you do, we're not going to come and say, "That's a bad word, take him out and stone him." Because that's what they used to do in the Old Testament. We'd say, "You know, I think we need to just kind of just hang that one or put it on the shelf for a while. And I'd get you afterwards and put you up against the wall and love you to bits." Okay, seriously, we can get it wrong. We've got to have the humility to say we get it wrong, especially when we get enthusiastic. But how do we know if it's true or not? How do we know if it's appropriate? Well, a part of the testing the Spirit comes from you testing your spirit. We've talked a little bit about that. The first one is it in line with the Word of God? I don't believe God the Holy Spirit will ever speak through you and tell you to go and rob a bank. Or worse still, tell somebody else to go and rob a bank. All right? He will never confirm that it's appropriate for you to sleep with your girlfriend before you get married. However good you think that might feel, or right it might feel, God will always speak right directly in line with His Word. Okay? So if somebody prophesies out of line with His Word, they're a false prophet. Always, always think, is this in line with God's Word? Ask another question, and this is what we do. Is it appropriate, or is it sensible? In other words, is what the person brought, is the spirit they brought it in, is the way they brought it, is what they said, does it have a real appropriateness right here and right now? And I can only remember rarities when it's not done. If somebody's come and stepped out in faith, as I say, 99.9% of the time, that stepping out in faith has brought a beautiful word from God. Is it appropriate? Is it sensible? And do the leadership have a sense that this is right? Now, I want to kind of talk about two things here. In a meeting, most words are for encouragement. Most words are right there, right then, maybe speaking to an individual's life or to a whole church's life. If somebody then stands up and prophesies and says, "You know, I believe God is telling us as a church, we've all got to move to Timbuktu." That's what I would call a directive word. And what I would do with that word is say, that's a directive word. And the leadership of the church needs to weigh that one. And we'll take that to the leadership the next time we meet. We'll pray about it and we'll evaluate it. And we will see whether we believe God's saying something. A good example of that would be when we went into the building program, and God gave me a word several times about the building program, us needing to build and be a Gentiles court. Now, some of you might not know what that means, but the Gentiles' court was the place where non-Jews could begin to approach God in the temple in Jerusalem. And I believed God gave that to me several times. I took it to the leadership. And as we shared the vision for the building, one of the reasons you've got plain glass out there, one of the reasons it's bright and airy, one of the reasons we've got the big foyer for serving coffee in, is because we wanted brand new people who were not familiar or comfortable in church to walk in and go, wow, this place is okay. A Gentile's court, a place where people could begin to approach God. Now that directive word began to shape the vision, or part of the vision, for why and how we built what we built in the church when we built in 2008. I hope that makes a little bit of sense. So the other thing I think it should be, if, particularly the directive word, it's faith stretching. If you hear something that's for you, you've got to step out in faith and receive it. If a church hears a directive word that the leadership then says, yes, that is for us, we're taking a step of faith that God is causing us to move forwards in Him. And if we're doing that, it will stretch us. It will move us from where we are now beyond to where God wants to move us to through that word. Faith stretching. So, practicing prophecy or practice prophesying. That's just a bit of a spelling exercise. I think I've got that right. Somebody told me off for getting it wrong the other week and wrote practice the wrong way. But anyway, Peter writes, if anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very word of God. Question. Will you? If Moses said, I would that all Israel would prophesy, if Paul writes, I would rather that you all prophesied, surely then it is for you. Surely then it is for you. Surely then it is for you to be in a place of intimacy and communion with God in His Word and God through the Holy Spirit, where you are listening to Him and seeking to hear what He will say. How might that work? I think there are two or three ways it could work around here. It may be the best place is to begin when you pray for somebody. You might be praying on your own in your bedroom for somebody. And it may be appropriate to say, God, is there anything you would like me to say to them? As much as I'm praying for them. You may get nothing. That's okay. Don't go and wring your soul out over the bathroom sink because you didn't get nothing. Just learn that God wants us in that place of intimacy and communion. But if you sense God says, I want you to encourage that person, all you have to do is text them and say, I've been praying for you, and I just believe God wants you to know that He loves you. If somebody wrote me a text like that, I'd be chuffed to bits. My mobile phone number is on Church Life, by the way. Okay? Seriously. What does Paul say here in 1 Corinthians 14? It's for encouragement. It's for lifting people up. You don't have to prophesy over the whole of somebody's life and give them a plan that takes them right through to the minute they breathe their last. It may be just one simple thing that you sense God has said to you for them. Or maybe you ring them up and say, I've been praying for you. And I just want you to know that I really, as I prayed, I felt God said, you have to pick that blue number out of your wardrobe and use the white tie with it. No, just kidding. God said He loves you. God said He wants you to know His presence today. God said He loves it when you worship Him. You know, if we learn to encourage each other like that, we actually foster intimacy and communion. God did not stop speaking when he put the full stop at the end of Revelation. He wants to foster intimacy and communion so we hear him. So start with someone. Please, please, don't go giving them directive words, all right? You know, don't go saying, I really believe God's called you to Timbuktu. You know, go and check with Pastor Ian, and if you must, with me over a word like that before you speak it out over somebody. And don't have prophecies over girlfriends and boyfriends. Okay? God used to speak to me about every girlfriend I had that I was going to marry them. And I only ended up marrying one of them. Amazing. I don't remember him speaking to me about that one. It's just I just fell in love instead. It's far more sense. You don't need prophecies when you're falling in love, do you, for goodness sake? Do you? Listen, don't get directive, do get encouraging. If it's directive, be very, very careful. And don't live your life for directive prophecies. That way we get caught into the same trap that the fortune tellers have fallen into and the people who listen to them, right? Most of directive prophecy is here. Listen to God's word. It's plain. He will direct you. Praying in home groups, just be open. When you have a prayer time in your home group, don't just pray the shopping list that you've been given. Listen to the shopping list. Listen to the heartbeat of the person who just said, I'm having an operation tomorrow, or I'm frightened because the doctors have found a lump and I've got to go and have a scan next week. Okay? When you're going to pray, listen to the heartbeat of that and say, God, have you anything that you want me to say for them and through them? And you'll be surprised. If it's nothing, it's fine. Just have a cup of coffee afterwards. But listen, home groups are a great place. We had a home group the other week, and one of our younger Christians prophesied without even knowing he was prophesying. Did it matter? No. He was just so aware that God was very present that he said, I think God is very present. He didn't use those words. That's me just short-circuiting. I think God is really here now, and we've got to stay in the moment. And he just spoke the direction into that meeting for the next 5 minutes. It wasn't long, but we stayed in God's presence. And it was great. You might say, well, that wasn't a prophetic word. I'll fight you afterwards. It was, okay? It's just a gentle beginning of him learning to listen to God, the Holy Spirit. And that's where this starts. Try it in home groups. The good thing about home groups is you all love each other. Don't you? Oh, change your home group, but don't come to mine. No, listen. If we are loving each other in home groups, it's a great place to be able to get alongside somebody and say, I just believe God wants to encourage you. I just believe God wants to tell you that he loves you. I just believe God, you know, when you shared that word, God wants to say he's pleased with that. Those things lift us up. But lift us up into intimacy and communion. And then praying in our worship. What do you bring on a Sunday? And we sense, or we try and sense what God the Holy Spirit's doing on Sundays. And we, at the front, whoever's leading the band or whoever's hosting tries to listen to what God's doing. Time and again in our service orders, after the message, we put responsive worship or response, because we're not just wanting to say, all right, well, that's it. Let's shut the book. Let's sing the last hymn and go home or grab a coffee. We're saying, okay, so you've spoken, God. How do we respond to that in worship? How do we bring back to you what you might have said to us? And sometimes in those moments, God still wants to continue to speak and take a hold of us or you or me. And say something else and either underline or add to what's already been happening in the meeting. And all I'd say is, if God's word said, I would rather that you all prophesied, it would take a bit long for all of you to have a go at it tonight. But wouldn't it be great if one or two of us did? That's a thought, isn't it? Who knows? Does it matter if we don't? No. Does it matter if we do? Yeah. It'd be great. But please, the heart of this, the heart of this is about our intimacy and our communion with Him. Are we listening? Are we open? I've gone on a bit. I didn't mean to. I want to do something really, really crazy that scares me stiff. Have you got any questions? I mean, about prophecy, not about whether Preston are going to win the Premiership or not, is there? It's okay if you haven't.
How do you begin?
Listen. Just listen to God, the Holy Spirit, and say, use me. That's all. That's all you need to do. This is not rocket science. I would say all our preaching should come out of prophecy. I don't want to speak. I don't want to preach unless I'm speaking God's word. And how we receive it is often the issue. You know, if we mark it 5 out of 10 so we don't have to listen to it, then we've not been listening for the prophetic. We should have this attitude that, God, you're going to speak to me. You're just scratching your ear, Steve? All right, okay, all right. Okay, so we're going to worship. I don't know where this goes from here. It doesn't matter. Because I'm standing in 1 Corinthians 13. But let's worship with open hearts. And let's listen. Let's come to a place in our worship where there's a real sense of us being intimate. And knowing that God wants to be intimate and commune with us. Bless you. Thanks, Steve.